ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट नंबर 6 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद नाधाय व्याधय
क्लेशा
दैव भूतात्म हेतवः अजात शत्राव अभवन जन्तूनां राग्निकर्हिचित् नाधय व्याधय
क्लेशा
दैव भूतात्म हेतवः अजात शत्राव अभवन् जन्तूनां राग्निकर्हिचित् Translation. Because of the kings having no enemy, the living beings were not at any time disturbed by mental agonies, disease, or excessive heat or cold. Purport. To be non-violent to human beings and to be a killer or enemy of the poor animals is Satan's philosophy. In this age there is enmity toward poor animals, and therefore the poor creatures are always anxious. The reaction of the poor animals is being forced on human society, and therefore there is always this strain of cold or hot wars between men, individually, collectively, or nationally. At the time of Maharaja Yudhishthira, there were no different nations, although there were different subordinate states. The whole world was united, and the supreme head, being a trained king like Yudhishthira, kept all the inhabitants free from anxiety, diseases, and excessive heat and cold. They were not only economically well-to-do, but also physically fit and undisturbed by supernatural power, by enmity from other living beings, and by disturbance of bodily and mental agonies. There is a proverb in Bengali that a bad king spoils the kingdom and a bad housewife spoils the family. I don't know the whole of it. I know the first line. Raja Nashta, Praja Nashta. This truth is applicable here also. Because the king was pious and obedient to the Lord and sages, because he was no one's enemy, and because he was a recognized agent of the Lord and therefore protected by him, all the citizens under the king's protection were, so to speak, directly protected by the Lord and his authorized agents. Unless one is pious and recognized by the Lord, he cannot make others happy who are under his care. There is full cooperation between man and God and man and nature. And this conscious cooperation between man and God and man and nature, as exemplified by King Yudhishthira, can bring about happiness, peace, and prosperity in the world. The attitude of exploiting one another, the custom of the day, will only bring misery. In the last 2 days, in the morning classes, I've been speaking about our Varnashram communities, the role of cow protection, how the cow gives milk which nourishes not just the body or even the brain, but also nourishes our whole being. Helps us spiritually, helps us, just as the cow is full of love, then we also, our heart becomes softened by gratefully taking her milk. And that's very conducive in general for developing the brain tissues, which are good for understanding spiritual matters, and also for softening the heart, which is required in devotional service. Bhakti. Bhakti means love. Now, cow protection we can do on our communities here and there. But really, to make an auspicious situation in the world, there has to be the whole society has to be directed by, or the whole society has to be dharmic, minimally dharmic, if not directly based on Krishna consciousness, following the Vedic culture. And that requires a proper king, Vedic king, just like Yudhishthira. Cow protection, we can do in pockets here and there, but to really protect cows properly and to follow Brahminical culture properly requires that there be the whole society, every aspect of it has to be based on following the Vedic principles, Vedic society. We can start on the land as far as possible, living off the land, and that immediately we get the advantage of we have our whole way of life becomes much more civilized and human and dignified, instead of dealing with all kinds of rascal nonsense people and having interactions all the time. We have to think how this person will not exploit me, or how I have to, because there's no sense of cooperation. You have to sometimes shout at people just to get them to do what they should ordinarily do. It's a very harsh society that we live in. Harsh, the English sense of the word, harsh. And in Hindi, of course, means something difficult, different. It means quite the opposite of harsh in English. So it's a very, very mean and nasty society. So we can immediately live much more civilized, a much more dignified life, instead of all the time having to think how to negotiate our way through life, we have to manage people diplomatically. Of course, it's not that everyone becomes a great saint just by joining our communities, but the endeavor is there to be like that. And if there's a sense of cooperation, well, without a sense of cooperation, it can't work at all. It's the people who come to our farm communities come to voluntarily. So without that sense of cooperation and jointly serving Krishna together, we can have people living together, but it won't be a community. Community means there's interaction with trust and same spirit, same motivation. So, and also the way of life. That Srila Prabhupada said that farming is the most noble profession. So people, they're not working in some factory or working in some office. Bifale shevinu kripana dura jana chapala shuka lava lagire. The poet Govinda Das explains that uselessly serving useless people for a little drop of useless sense gratification. So even our devotees, they may not, their goal of life is Krishna. But if they're living in the cities, they're compelled to serve some useless people. If they were only useless, that would be not so bad, but they're actually very harmful to our spiritual advancement. And they're harming themselves and everyone else by trying to, by making the goal of their life sense gratification. And then there's exploitation. And so it's not a very dignified way of life to work for others, as most people in the world today do. They just think, how can I get a job? They never even think that, well, maybe I don't have to work in a job, so I don't have to work for someone. To work under the employ of someone else, that's described in the Bhagavatam as shvavriti, the mode of living of a dog. You have to take a master. So that's not very dignified. But even if even in the Varnashram society, if someone is serving someone else, that means directly being maintained by someone else, Shudra. But they also have their dignity if they're working under a dignified master and they do their duties very well. Whereas and that's appreciated. Whereas in modern society, no one appreciates others. Although you might read some books, One Minute Manager or something. I haven't read the One Minute Manager. It was a famous book about 30 years ago. Every so often some new book comes out which tells you how to, actually practically every day, but some of them become very prominent, how to manage and how to run a business and all this kind of, how to negotiate your way in this trackless, directionless world. So there are several books like that that have become very famous in the Western world. There's management and books. The One Minute Manager was one. In Search of Excellence, I think that was another one. Maybe the most famous is The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Oh, the first ones that were very big, the classics of the modern foolish age. One is How to Win Friends and Influence People, and the other is Think and Grow Rich. So people have some funny idea that you can just think of $20 billion and it'll just manifest, like you see the picture of Swarna Lakshmi showering gold coins. But if you just sit down and think, I want to be a multi-billionaire, it doesn't happen. You can go on thinking as much as you like. Meanwhile, someone will come and throw you out of the house for not working and paying the rent. So dignity, there's dignity in doing what is, there's a saying in English, an honest day's work. You work well, what work you're given, you do it well. As we see in modern India, especially, if people are given a job to do, they won't do it well unless you supervise them at every moment. If you the bricklayer, Raj Mistri, if you leave him unsupervised, instead of putting the right mixture of sand and cement, they'll put more sand because it's cheaper, and then they sell the cement. And then instead of putting the in between the bricks, the mixture of cement and sand and water, they'll put the brick and then just paste it over so it's empty inside. And that's just typical. You see the electricians, they put the they'll put the electric switchboard, and completely haphazardly, without that one light. It's not that there are three lights in a row on the ceiling, and they'll all be out of order with the switches. And yes, they don't care. Just do it somehow or other. The screws are in, not straight, and not fully in. The work ethic is not there. I'm doing this. It's not a, I'm being paid, I should do a good job. That work is just get it done as quickly and as long as I get the money, what does it matter? Whether you do a good job or not. And of course that sometimes leads to buildings falling down, killing people, and then the builder gets arrested. So, just a cheating mentality, very deeply in the modern Indian consciousness. I'm not saying everyone's like that, but it is highly pervasive, and it starts at the top. Raja Nashta, Praja Nashta. If the leader is a rascal, then what? And how can you expect the city? All the citizens know that the politicians are just filling up their own pockets in collusion with the corrupt businessmen, the corrupt police. Everyone knows the local gundas or gang people. They're all in collusion with the police. If your house is robbed, it's practically useless going to the police. They might just come and rob you some more. If a woman is raped, she goes to the police station and the police will rape her again. This kind of thing happens. So it's a horrible condition in society. Absolutely horrible condition. Srila Prabhupada said to make a Vaikuntha world. We're a long, long way away from that. But that is the aim of Srila Prabhupada's establishing, or asking to establish, Varnashram society. The whole idea of dignity, that we should have a dignified life. With these the women in Delhi some year ago, and they had the Sluts March. Slut means very low-class prostitute-like women, and they go showing their body and deliberately being as unchaste as possible and say, we demand the right to be like this. What a horrible society. And that's only one instance. This idea of personal freedom to just be as degraded as you can. I heard many years ago, I think before I joined, maybe, I can't remember, there was a rock star who took pleasure in being as outrageous as possible. So he used to do all kinds of things on this. Actually, there was one rock from England, there was a woman's rock group who used to perform in the nude. Just go on stage, and no clothes on whatsoever. This is art. Very strange. Anyway, this Frank Zappa, someone wanted to outdo him, and so I'll do the most gross thing possible. And then, so he passed stool on the stage in front of the whole audience, and Zappa said, I can do better than that. He picked up the stool and ate it. I've heard, I'm not sure if it's true. But the whole idea of just being as degraded, they take pleasure in showing how degraded they can be. And we want to establish dignity. Dignity begins with sexual propriety. Not that you have, a woman has 8 children by 8 different husbands, and she has so many men, and it's not unusual in the modern, horrible, horrible society. So when we're talking about these things, it's not just some sentimental thinking back to the past, oh, Maharaj Yudhishthira was that, and someone will say, oh, it's just some fairy story, there was never anything like that. Come on, let's be realistic. It's not that we're just sentimentally looking back to the past and thinking, oh, it was so nice. But we have a very serious program to re-establish this. Very serious program. It should be very simple. You grow your own food, protect the cows, live together cooperatively, and of course, most important of all, chant Hare Krishna. Some may say, well, chanting Hare Krishna is most important of all, so you don't really need all these other things. Well, in one sense, that's true. But on the other hand, we're chanting Hare Krishna, well, we may not even have enough time to chant Hare Krishna. So in modern life, people live such harassed life, and the consciousness is being bombarded by all lower modes of nature, interaction with people and the whole society, which in every way pollutes our minds and bodies. So the Varnashram, land-based society, is meant to create a situation in which our chanting of Hare Krishna will, first of all, have time for that, and the whole atmosphere will be very suitable for actually cultivating Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami defines the topmost level of bhakti, of sadhana bhakti at least, is Anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakam adinavritam anukulina krishna anushilanam bhaktirutama. So anushilana means, can be translated as cultivation. It means let's try to literally translate. It means behaving, following in the example of others. So we can say cultivating. Cultivating pure Krishna consciousness without any personal desire, either for material gain or for liberation from the material world. So it's a cultivation, and you may say, well, just like chanting Hare Krishna is the most important thing. Okay. Well, you can say that, okay, well, in producing some crops, the most important thing is the you have to have the seed, otherwise it doesn't happen. But you also need to have good soil, regular watering, weeding. So chanting Hare Krishna is undoubtedly the most important thing, but these communities are supposed to help us to develop our Krishna consciousness. And you may think, in one sense, it's very simple to grow your own food, but in the modern age, to live together cooperatively can be very difficult. Because, well, why? Because we're all very difficult. So it requires a lot of preaching in the community itself. We're all very difficult, and we're all conditioned and programmed by all kinds of wrong ideas about what the sadhya sadhana tattva, what the goal of life is and how to attain it. For most people in the modern world, the goal of life is to have plenty of money, or at least sufficient money, so they can have a place to live, preferably purchased, not renting. And if they can have a car, or at least a motorcycle, for people in the cities nowadays, it's becoming more and more, you have to have a car. A motorbike isn't... It used to be in India that people would walk everywhere. Then they got bicycles. So when I first came to Delhi in 1975, there were bicycles everywhere, thousands of them. Literally. Maybe it must have been lakhs of bicycles. I mean, you didn't see them. And then gradually people, they went to scooters and then to motorbikes, and now people have to have cars. And the time is coming when even to have a small car won't be good enough, just like this nano car came out. And no one wanted to buy it, because it's not prestigious enough, because everyone knows it's the cheapest car. So you could buy a nano for, what, 1.5 lakhs, something like that. But they'd rather spend, what's the next one? Maruti, 5-6 lakhs. You can 4 lakhs. So you can take a bank loan, and now there are so many. But they'd rather take a bank loan and spend years and years. They're still paying it off even after the car's scrapped for being out of date. They're still paying off the debt. So, So even a small car won't be good enough. They have to have... one disciple of mine, I haven't seen him for a few years. So I guess he's not being that much disciplined. He was and probably is... I think last time I saw him, he was a bank manager. Young man, bank manager. So he told me that the company, they told him that... He used to walk to work. He said, no, you have to go in a car. I said, well, I don't have a car. You have to buy one. Your bank manager has to go to work in a car. We'll give you a loan. And I don't want to take a loan from your bank. He knew, he himself told me, this bank I'm working for. He said, my job is to give people loans, but I'm crying inside while I do it because I know the bank is just ripping them off. They don't read all the small things. Oh, Hare Krishna. What a difficult world we live in. So we come to the farm. Simple living. You have to be simple in mentality also, not complicated. Sharalata, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Simplicity is the hallmark of a Vaishnava. That means also in mentality. It doesn't just mean... living without many possessions. or eating simple food. Simplicity in mentality also. Shraddha shadde vishas kare sudra nischoy. Jay Krishna bhakti koile sarva kama kritohe. Simple faith. If I serve Krishna, that's all I need to do. Everything's taken care of. I don't need to do so many other things. That's the perfection of life. So that simple faith is the basis of Krishna consciousness. So simple mentality, not a cheating, exploitive, sociopathic. When you're then the cheating and exploitation becomes the extreme, that's what's called in modern psychology, sociopathic or psychopathic. When your whole mentality is how to exploit and cheat others, and it's completely person's whole consciousness is like that. And they don't take any, they have no remorse about mistreating others or causing pain to others. In fact, they take pleasure in it. And they often appear to, they often appear to be very friendly and the well-wisher of others, but actually their aim is to exploit others. So we don't need psychopaths in our communities. They may want to establish some communities and make everyone their follower, but we have to see that devotees who are coming are actually sufficiently pure in heart to come with a good intention. Otherwise, if they have a prominent agenda of their own or some idea, I have to be a big man in the community, my interest first, my family first, it doesn't work. Everyone has to see, not even thinking first and foremost of their own, what they consider to be their own interest. They should identify that the community's interest is my own interest, that we're all in this together. We're all helping each other materially and spiritually. A mood of service, in other words, a mood of service. So that's another very important way. That these communities, they foster the spirit of service, which devotional service is all about service. And modern life is all about competition and sense enjoyment. So in that way also, if we're living in the Varnashram community, there's no divide between our material life and our spiritual life. And there's no divide, it's between, in our consciousness. It's not that we go out in the world and dressed in pants and shirt and we pretend to be a materialist and we're not supposed to let others know that we're devotees of Krishna. And then we come back and we come home and we put on a dhoti and tilak and chant Hare Krishna. And what I've seen in some places is because people, they have such a rushed life, they'll get up in the morning and they'll put on their pants and shirt, do a quick 5-minute Mangalati in their pants and shirt, and then go out to work. And they think, well, I don't have time to put on a dhoti and this and that. And eventually it gets to the point where they don't even think of wearing a dhoti, and it's quite normal. And why are you saying anything? What's wrong with doing? See, I never had any problem. Someone wrote to me and said, I never had a problem. I do my puja every day in wearing pants. No problem. He said, no problem. He said, well, Krishna didn't come and hit him on the head with his club, so it must be okay. But Krishna, I don't know what he's thinking when he says no problem. But Krishna's given us direction in the Shastra, what he likes, how we live. So it's a completely different approach to life, the modern demoniac civilization. And even if people, it's not that everyone, when you say demoniac, it's not that everyone's running around with machetes trying to kill each other. It's not like that, but people, there is some sense of general cooperation, and it's not that every shopkeeper is trying to rip you off, trying to cheat you. It used to be, I remember in Bengal, maybe in different parts of India, different things. I remember in West Bengal and Bangladesh that if you're weighing something on the scale, they don't. First of all, you have to check to see the scale is even. You have to see the shopkeeper doesn't put a stone on underneath your bag to make it extra weight. And then the money you give, you have to count very carefully the change. Because always they're trying to, on the bus, you go on the bus and you give 10 rupees and the fare is 50 paisa. Those were the days. And then he says, oh, I don't have change, I'll give you later. And you have to remember, otherwise he won't give it to you. All the time, every moment. So, yeah. But nowadays it's not so much like that. Maybe in some parts of India it is, but in many parts of India you can just give your 500 rupee note. If you have to pay a 90 rupee and the person gives the change, and you can just quickly look at it, or maybe and just you can be confident that there. So it's not that everyone's trying to directly cheat you all the time. There is a large measure of cooperation, and it is safe to walk on the streets without being afraid that someone will. Well, actually, in some places, just like in big cities, in London, the pickpockets are busy. Then, when I was doing book distribution in London in the 1970s, you'd find there are waste bins every 50 yards or something like this, and you'd find that during the day they'd get filled up with empty wallets from the pickpockets, because unsuspecting people come and they put their wallet in their back jeans pocket, and it's an easy, I could have done it myself, it's so easy to pickpocket them. But in many parts, that's why they call it a concrete jungle. It's full of people who are like, it's more dangerous. Maybe the jungle is more, it's more safe than the city. But anyway, what I'm getting at roundabout is that in many parts of the world, people, they live more or less cooperatively. They may have from time to time disagreements, but in their day-to-day life, they're quite decent people. But that in and of itself doesn't help for our spiritual advancement. They may be quite nice people, but they have no idea of the goal of life. So it's not that we're just trying to come together and be nice and smile at each other, but we have a very definite goal of the purpose of life, which is to be Krishna conscious. And by practicing Krishna consciousness, we should be able to demonstrate communities in which the people live together, not just with a sense of decency. They can live with each other without grossly exploiting each other, but with actual feeling and care and love for each other. That's more than just not cheating each other. And that feeling and care and love for each other, it's not just some platitude, but actually expressed. Just like, for instance, looking after old people. Someone gets, at the age of 70, they become sick and they lie on the bed. They might go on lying on the bed for another 20 years before they die. And you have to look after them every day. And you don't. Day after day after day. That was the normal thing. I saw in Oregon State in the United States of America a few years ago, visiting godbrother, a friend of mine who I hadn't seen for years. We were together in Calcutta in the 1970s. So his wife's mother was living there. She was over 70 years old and her mother was there. And her mother was lying on the bed, 90 years plus, mentally she could just about recognize her daughter, otherwise just lying all day. And her daughter would regularly bathe her and feed her. It was just going on day after day and clean. You'll hardly find anyone who will do that nowadays. I think our devotees are better at that. Our Keshav Bharati Maharaj, who lives just, or he's here just now in Govardhan, he went and cared for his mother. He renounced the world, but then among all his brothers and sisters, when he heard that his mother in America was dying, he went to look after her. The others didn't. And he actually made her a devotee in the few months that before she passed away. It's a very touching narration of that. You can find it back to Godhead. She was even initiated. You read that? Mm. And our Mukunda Datta Prabhu, who came the other night and was playing the Pakwaj while Nityananda sang Govinda Damodar Stotra, he also, his mother was dying, he had several brothers and sisters. He left India and went back to America to look after his dying mother for several years. So these are the kind of values that we want to instill, not just talking about, well, we love everyone and compassion, and all, but practically, who's going to look after old people? Well, there was no question previously in societies throughout the world, although Srila Prabhupada does write about some cannibal societies in which where people get all they cook them. But that's not a very good solution. Not recommended. He does also, actually it's in the Bhagavatam directly, in Kapila's instructions, that the old person is neglected and insulted by the family members. But at least in my experience in all these years of India, I've seen many old people living at home, and they are looked after with respect, even though the old people can't do anything, they don't contribute anything, they're a burden, you could say. But it's all done. It's a sense of dharma that no one thinks, oh, it's such a burden. No, it's you have to do. They did for their parents, I'll do, and they expect my children will also do for me, without thinking. So without even talking so much about compassion and love, it's just there. It's just part of the society. And not to do it would be considered, it's not even possible to imagine. How could you throw your old parents out on the street? You can't do it. It's just not imaginable. So to rebuild this kind of society when so much selfishness has been instilled in it, it's quite a challenge. Quite a challenge. But this is required, of course. I'm talking more about the material side here because that's what Varnashram is. It's a material arrangement. But the whole idea is with Krishna in the center. You may say, well, why do that at all? Well, ultimately to please Krishna. Why look after an old person? To please Krishna. He's also pleased by that. Just like we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita the description of the old Brahmin and the young Brahmin who went from South India to Vrindavan, and the young Brahmin served the older Brahmin. They were not related. It served him at every step, everything he did. And in Vrindavan, when they reached Vrindavan, the older man said, oh, I'm so pleased with your service. So I want to reciprocate. I promise my daughter in marriage to you. And the young Brahmin said that, well, I didn't serve you to get anything from you. I just did it to please Krishna, because Krishna is pleased. If you serve his devotees, you serve. We find also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was one, Ramadas, he was a servant of, his name is servant of Rama, and he was always chanting the name of Lord Rama. He set out by foot, in those days it was by foot, from Varanasi to Puri, And just as he said that they came across Raghunath Bhatta, who was also going. So this Ramdas, he was Kayasta, Shudra by caste. And Raghunath Bhatta is Brahmin by caste. So he just, okay, they're going together. So he just served him all the way. That's his duty. Even Kayasta by caste, they don't do that kind of service. Theirs is more clerical, administrative work. But he thought, I came, so I'm going with him, so I'll serve him. That was just expected, normal, natural, no question. Human rights, equality, and all. Understanding, Krishna is behind everything. Krishna has put me in such and such a position, and from this position I'll serve Krishna. That's all. In the Western countries, sometimes people, they become horrified seeing devotees, they're bowing down. Why are you bowing down? Why are you bowing down? You shouldn't bow down before. That's humiliating. They think. And why? One devotee told me he was in Australia. He was sannyasi. He was sitting down taking prasad with all devotees, and another devotee was serving him. And he said, "Okay, bring that sabji, bring this." And some guest who was there said, "Why are you ordering him around? Who are you?" Oh. Why is he doing it? Why is he serving like that? It's a sense of duty and with the sense of love. But they have no love. They think, you know, no one should submit themselves to anyone else unless they're being paid for it. If the sannyasi had replied, "Well, I pay him $5,000 a week to do this," they say, "Oh, okay." That's all. If there's an exchange of money, anything is okay. Prostitution, anything. And very, very dark and black society. There's no love. There's no love, even materially. So that we have to try to establish, make a Vaikuntha world, Prabhupada said. So, Hare Krishna. I'll finish there for now. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada.